today is Free Friday, okay? All right, today is Free Friday. We are just relaxing. I hope that you guys are having a good day thus far. Okay, we're going to continue on our lessons here. I told you guys that I wouldn't be here every day. I'll probably be able to get here every other day or every so-and-so days because I've had tons and tons of things to do, okay? And again, while I've been reading through the book of Proverbs, it's been really processing a lot of things within me. And I've been sitting back and just observing a lot of things, okay? Because every season does not cause for you to speak a lot of things. A lot of times it's best to sit back and observe, okay? And that's actually a wisdom principle too, okay? Especially in the trying times that we're in now. I myself personally believe that we're in an epidemic of mental illness, and I don't mean that to be funny or shady. I really do think that we're in an epidemic. Let's look up the definition of epidemic, okay? I think we're in an epidemic of mental illness, and so that's why I'm seeking even more wisdom out, because you're going to have to kind of know. A lot of people say, I don't believe in psychology. You're going to learn what's balanced and unbalanced as far as like disturbed or undisturbed. You want to know what demented, disturbed behavior is so you can kind of know how to deal with it, okay? And it's not always outwardly, you know, inwardly, you know, outwardly overt. It can be very covert. And so that's why we're seeking wisdom to be able to know how to move in and out of situations. To number one, always love God. Number two, to follow his will and to try to obey him. And number three, to remain safe. You know what I mean? We want to remain safe. So let's look up epidemic. It's an outbreak. It's an infestation. It's a pandemic, right? It's running rampant, okay? Occurring widely in a community at a particular time. So what's occurring widely in the community at a particular time is severe mental illness. And it's not just like, oh, that's just, you know, you're just a little cray cray. It's like severe mental illness. And it's important for us to kind of know this because, you know, we send our kids to school. You don't know what type of mindset the teachers are in. You may work with people that might be a little, you know what I'm saying? So it's very important for us to kind of know. So that's what we are seeking wisdom for. We're not seeking wisdom to feel like we're better than other people or we're so deep and we're just so filled with God's joy that it just makes me so happy all the time. A lot of those are like, if you ask my opinion, very shallow and very false images. I'm going to say something like they kind of put as like a cloak. You kind of put on yourself like, I'm just happy all the time. That's toxic positivity. Toxic positivity has nothing to do with loving God, okay? Because even God got angry. He drowned everything and then burnt everything up, right? So we're not going to go off into that, I'm just toxic positive. And sometimes, again, you have to be careful with that because people that are covertly mentally ill will put on toxic positivity. And they will do it, number one, to make it seem like they're just so, like, in the know, and they're just so overfilled with joy to try to attract people to them, even though it's very disingenuous and inauthentic. And then number two, they would do that to try to irritate and mock other people. Okay, so a lot of people would say, well, why would people go to that far? The same way that you will wake up and you have a sane mentality, there's a lot of people that wake up to have an insane mentality. It is not no order to it, it's chaos. So it's important for us to know this in this epidemic of this mental illness, okay? And also to guard our hearts and to guard our minds and to watch our gates, okay? Ear gates, eye gates, watch all of them, okay? Because people become unhinged and unglued, and it's not a safe thing. So let's go ahead and go into Proverbs 18. You guys can grab your Bible, paperback, or you can grab your laptop or what have you. I won't keep you long. I know I always said that, but today especially, I want to go back in there and rest before the kids get off the school bus, you know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and take a little bit of moment to go ahead and repent. I want to confess, just get all of that stuff up off of us. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what's going on, you might be sleepy, groggy. You might have a hard work week, right? Everybody has had something going on this week or today, right? You might have got into an argument with your significant other. The kids might be getting, it's everything, you know, to be, everybody, we all know this, okay? We're all grown. But let's go ahead and take the time to just confess. Just to the Most High to get some things off of our chest of things we may have done that was probably not so right, you know what I'm saying, or said or even thought, okay? So we can clear our space, and we still want to keep making sure that we're good ground for wisdom to try to kind of reside within us, okay? All right, so 1, 2, 3, and let's go. That was enough time for you, and we ask that the Most High just have this wisdom and let it to be like living water and to just flow throughout the places in us and wash away things. And also let it to overturn things and create and turn our pain into personal power according to the Most High through wisdom. Let us learn from our experiences. Amen. Okay. We want to learn from our experiences. Okay. And we also want to be observant. Okay. So let's go into chapter 18. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignorantity reproach. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of a wisdom as a flowing brook. I did not listen. When I just prayed that prayer, guys, I do not read the book of Proverbs before I come over here to do my, because they're very spontaneous. I was actually in there, just got done folding clothes. I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and do my podcast. That's how it happens. I know that's like, people are like, you got to have a schedule so you can have an audience. Well, you know, whoever's going to listen to me, going to listen to me. Okay. I do not read these on purpose. Like, I know these scriptures, like when I hear them, but I don't know, like, that's right in chapter 22 verse, you know, I'm not one of those type of people, you know what I'm saying? And so, unless it's like something I've read, like I had to memorize, you know. And I did not know that when I just was saying I want wisdom. I want his presence to be like living water, just to wash away a lot of things. We have to have wash away a lot of things. I want to read that again, okay? That is 18 and 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Oh, that's so beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth forth strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Okay? I want you to underline. Look, I forgot. I'm so sorry, guys. You know I normally usually say that. Let's go ahead and underline talebearer. Okay. Where is it? Okay, here we go. I almost lost it, guys. It's right here. Verse 8. He also that is slothful in his work, in his brother's work, is to him as a great waster. So telling us not to be lazy. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Did you see that? I don't read this. So when I'm talking about safety, it says that his name is a strong tower, and the righteous run up into it and is safe. It is okay to run, Forrest, run. Run like David. You understand? Run like Joseph. It's okay to run away from certain things that might try to ensnare you. Joseph was almost ensnared by the seduction of, sexual delight and physical pleasure. We had David running because who his mentor was. He loved his mentor and served him and soothed him, right? His gift soothed him, but it irritated and made his mentor. So he had to run because the mentor wanted to seek him, right? Okay. So we have to, we want to run for run. Run if you have to, okay? Didn't Moses run? Moses ran. I believe he killed the man and he had to run from his consequences of his anger. He ended up running from his consequences and ran into God in a dry place. So it's sometimes when we have to run from things, it's so that we can be safe. So never be ashamed to run to God and know that his name is a strong tower. There's nothing wrong with running to him. When you run it because you're weak and he is strong. You have to run into his name. His name is it's a strong tower. So when you speak his name, it erects a strong tower. And a tower does what? It protects you from things. Okay? So never be too, I'm strong and I got this handle. No, run to God. Okay? Isn't that beautiful? And it is safe. His name is safe. It provides safety around you. Okay? I don't know any other name that could do that. It's a beautiful name. Don't be ashamed to say his name. And don't be ashamed to run to him either. Okay? The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall is his own conceit. So a rich man's wealth is a city to them, okay? And as a high wall is their own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Underline wounded spirit. Underline wounded spirit. So this is right here. Okay. Now we spoke about, I didn't read this. Okay. So we spoke about the water. Okay. A man's words, his mouth is as deep waters. Okay. And his words go down to the innermost parts. Right. We also spoke about the Lord's name as far as being safe. So what's coming up now is safety. Safety. Okay. It's coming up with washing, with purification. Okay. And we also coming up with a wounded spirit. When you have a wounded spirit, you do not feel safe. And you have not been purified with water. You have been desecrated a lot of the times. It can be socially, a lot of different ways. It can be at your job, just disrespected, right? Disrespected. So it causes a wounded spirit. I'm going to go ahead and put this a tab on my computer. Because you guys know me, I forget. Wounded spirit. We want to know what that means. What does that mean? Okay. Okay. In the Bible, you didn't just type it. A crushed spirit also means a crushed spirit. Okay. A wounded spirit and a crushed spirit. So if you have a wounded spirit and a crushed spirit, don't try to walk around here being toxically positive. Don't do that. If you can, I know you got to fake it till you make it. Okay. I know in front of the kids. Hey, how you doing? Ha. You know what I'm saying? Take some time. I know when you go to work, right? I know even to some people's spouses, some people have spouses, they can't be their naked self in front of. They have to always be on and always gather together, stuff like that, right? But it says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Right? And when you're feeling weak and when stuff is trying to intimidate you and to threaten you away from safety, his name is a strong tower. So he wants to give you safety. He wants to be that strong tower when you're weak and when you feel unsafe. When you feel soiled and dirtied and desecrated and demeaned. He wants to be able to wash you with this water. Let it go down to the innermost parts. His word to water you, right? That reminds me of where it says that husbands, wash your wives with the word. Your husband, wash your wives with the word. Now we just read, where is it at? Where was it at? 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. Right? So our mouth has deep waters in it, and we want it to be a wellspring. We want it to be full of wisdom as a flowing brook. Okay, so if you have a wounded spirit, sometimes it's good. Put on a flowing brook. Just put it on there, the imagery of it. And look at that and say, Lord, let that wisdom be in my mouth like that. Allow it just to work it in my mouth. I'm going to be quiet before you. I'm going to keep calling you, Lord, whatever you want to call him, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him. God, Father, Abba, Don Dada, King of Kings, whatever you call him. Okay, that's your personal, none of my business. When you call him, imagine a strong tower is being erected around you and you safe. Okay? That's Holy Ghost imagery for you. All right? When you have a wounded spirit, who can bear a wounded spirit? Who can bear it? Okay? Verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. Notice it says your gift make room for you, not your net wording. There's nothing wrong with that. But I believe we kind of then get out of sorts. Your net wording, who you rub shoulders with, who I know, and this celebrity spirit, and I want to be a celebrity. We didn't got that on us real bad. And you're not working your gift, okay? Your gift shall make room for you. Not somebody else's gift that you want to have. So that means you got to be you. You got to ask God what your gifts are. And then you have to be able to develop and be humble and go learn and develop your gifts. And as you're doing it, your gifts will make room for you, not somebody else's or not your net wording. So touch it up and say, take time, take time. Nothing good takes overnight. No good tree that bears beautiful, delicious fruit grows overnight. Okay. It takes work and it takes patience. And it may take longer, but
the fruit will be much sweeter. Okay. Let's go to verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh in search of him. The lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle.
Wow. Wow. Okay, we got to do that one too. Wow. Now that is so true. You ever been offended? I've actually been highly offended as of late. Very disgraceful. And so it says, a brother offended is harder to be won over than a whole city of people that got governmental things into it and got structure and got buildings erected and got reasons for those buildings. They got education and they got residential homes and got all of the real estate where it's supposed to be at. That's easier to win it over than a person when they offended. Okay, so a person that really wants to be close with you and wants to win you over, and that you're my brother, you're my sister, you know, that type of thing, they wouldn't be trying to offend you all the time, because they'll know that it's hard to win over someone when they're offended. So watch out for people that try to mock and offend you all the time. Those are not people that are, I'm just trying to keep it real with. Nah, you know what you're doing and what you're saying is offensive. So you're not my brother, okay? We're not sis and broing each other. You're offended. It means upset, right? Hurt, wound. Cause to feel upset, annoyed, or resentful. Be displeasing to. Disgust. Somebody that's disgusted by you is not going to be won over by you. If you're going out of your way to offend them. That's put off. That's upset with you. That's sickened by you. You repulse them. Your behavior over and over and over. If somebody keeps doing that, that's not someone that's, somebody's offending you or trying to upset you. That's not someone that's trying to win you over. That's someone that's what? Offend also means wound. That's someone trying to wound your spirit. We just saw that in verse 14. Who can bear? It says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Who can bear being disgusted? Who can bear being distressed and hurt and wounded? Pain, injure, annoyed, resentful, upset. Who can bear that? So if someone wants to be around you and it's showing you, it says a brother offended is harder to win over. That's not someone that's trying to win you over to walk with you in peace or a people or a place or it or a thing, wherever, you know, it could be a school, what have you. It could be an apartment complex you stay in. You know, it's different places. It could be the bus stop you always go to, and the people there are just rude. You might have to switch bus stops. You know, it could be seriously. It's seriously getting that serious to protect your peace at all costs. Somebody that's always trying to offend you and displease you and sicken you and nauseate you. That's someone that's trying to wound your spirit. That is not a person that's sinned by the Most High ever. Ever. It didn't say they will upset you. People that you walk with as brothers and sisters or as kinsmen, right? Or as spouses or as family or as support. They're, you know, you're going to get upset. But if they're doing it on purpose, it's hard to win over somebody once they're sickened by you. Once they're displeased with you. Once they're hurt with you, it's hard to win them back over. Once you have wounded and annoyed and upset them, it's hard to win them back over. So anyone that is reacting, acting like that with you and causing things and manufacturing little scenarios like that to happen to you, that's someone that is not sent from the Most High. And remember, be safe. Call on God. Run to Him. And let Him deal, and you move accordingly to keep yourself safe and stay away from anybody that brings this energy around you. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's beautiful. That was actually very short.
24 verses, okay, consider, you know, compared to the other ones we have read. Was that actually very nice? That was actually a very nice one. A lot of times, sometimes, you know, Proverbs, you know, it's a saying. It can be kind of hard to understand. This one was pretty easy to understand, right? So we got it. I did want to look up wounded spirit, okay? Just so we can kind of come to that. A wounded spirit comes as a result of a reaction to negative words, events, actions, or a violation of your person or your rights. Okay? So I want to cite my sources. I do not like to take anybody's intellectual property. This is coming from www.gospel.org.nz. Okay? And this is by Rodney Francis, okay? And he says, in my travels, I am continually meeting, being led to minister to people who are carrying a wounded spirit. Something has happened in their lives that has knocked them back and from which they are unable to rise above or get totally free from. What has happened in your life that has knocked you back, that you have not been able to get totally free from? If you ask yourself that question, you wouldn't be looking at everyone like they're wounded and like you're just so healed. Because obviously your behavior, if you're trying to offend someone on purpose and annoy them and have them be resentful and irritate them and manufacture little situations like that, you're not a person that's totally free from negativity or pain, okay? Because what you give out is what you are, all right? Continue. When we are afflicted by a wounded spirit, we are unable to step out boldly to obey the Holy Spirit. And therefore, so much of God's purposes for us, excuse me, guys, for us is lost in our inability to release faith in a consistent manner. The subject of a wounded spirit is an important one as it affects so many people. Many don't even understand what it is or how it affects us. And the book of Proverbs chapter 18 is a key chapter on the subject. Proverbs 18:14 states, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Infirmity means sickness, disease, or weakness. But a wounded spirit, who can bear it? We can all endure all kinds of physical affliction. But when our spirit is wounded, and a wounded spirited person is someone who has been hurt and bruised or damaged in their spirit, it can be very painful. A wounded spirit comes as a result of a reaction to negative words, events, actions, or a violation of your person or your rights. A reaction that crushes you, knocks you down, and from which you cannot seem to rise. It crushes an area of your life, your spirit, which is quite devastating in how it affects us. It seems we cannot heal ourselves of a wounded spirit. We need someone else to release it in positive, believing prayer. There are many ways that we can receive a wounded spirit. Negative, critical words. Someone says something to you that knocks you flat and you can't get over it. Those words have penetrated deeply in your spirit in a hurtful, crushing kind of way. Okay? Now remember, it just says the words of a man's mouth is as deep waters. And life and death is of the power of the tongue. So that can go both ways. Someone that says very negative things towards you, they're stirring up deep waters within their mouth. And deep waters can do what? They can either kind of like wash over and bring life, or they can also, deep waters from a negative space can drown. Remember, life and death is in the power of a tongue. Someone that speaks negative words to you or towards you, they'll come through like with a tsunami of their mouth. It's not cute little waves like, oh, look at that. It's like it could come through with like a tsunami and it can drown out and try to leave everything terrible within this way, and it's wreak havoc. And leave things as carnage, right? Okay, words produce either death or life in those who speak them and those who receive them, okay? Marriages, even Christian marriages, are broken by the critical words spoken between the husband and the wife and vice versa. Okay, so that's why when people speak negative or critical words to you, unless it's constructive criticism from a trusted source, meaning that you know that they have your best intentions at heart, they truly care about you, they care about your development, and they also affirm you. Someone that's always critiquing, rebuking, embarrassing, calling you to the red carpet, emphasizing you in front of people, that means talking to you like you're a kid in front of people, not acknowledging your good traits, not acknowledging your try, not acknowledging and celebrating your triumphs, not acknowledging those publicly, that's someone that is using their mouth for deep waters to drown out and cause tsunami of their negativity. They want you to receive it. So that's why it's important to pray against all word curses. They're cursing you with their mouth. If they're not speaking life and blessings, they're cursing you. Don't receive them. Notice it says you have to receive that. Okay? It can affect you, but you don't have to receive it. You understand? So like a tsunami can happen to you. Oh my God. Yeah. But you don't have to receive that a tsunami is just going to always happen. You know, like every time I go outside and it's sunny and I'm enjoying myself, a tsunami going to come. Like, nah. You understand? That's where post-traumatic stress disorder come into play at. Because it's post, after the fact. Traumatic, after the trauma means wound. You know, people love to say trauma. It means wound. It means wound. That's what it means. You know, a lot of times we play out, we just wear words out. Like we ain't never read before, you know. So it means wound. Okay? Post-traumatic stress disorder. After the wound, the stress, and this disorder is not at peace. So you have to be careful, again, with who we surround ourselves with. If someone is always trying to upset you, irritate you, and notice in Proverbs it says an offended person is hard to win over. Those are not people or situations that you ever need to be bothered with. Because they're trying to wound your spirit. They want you to receive their wound in you. That's why you notice they'll get really fiendish and obsessive with trying to wound you. And then they'll try to, like, what they call doxing. They're trying to find out about you. Oh, what's going on? Oh, they're upset. Then let's just keep doing that. Yeah, that type of thing. I've even had where some people know that I've had something kind of, like, off, bad happen to me or whatever. And they will, like, play in my face and joke about it. Like, it's a hilarious thing. Trying to offend me. They want you to receive, like, oh, I received that. I'm a bad person because you're treating me bad. No, how you treat me is more of a reflection of yourself and your inner nature. It's not vice versa. I don't care if it's a million people doing it. It's a million people that's mixed up. And they're wounded. Instead of them dealing with it, they prefer to project and be in la-la land and in delulu land, acting like everything is all good and toxic positivity, and that you're the problem. Your reaction to their trying to offend you and annoy you is the problem. Your reaction to their negative words, them creating events and actions towards you and violating you, your reaction to it is what's the problem. You see what I mean? So those type, and they're becoming more prevalent because more people are becoming more and more self, you know, serving. So it's just important for us to be careful. He goes on and say, a fool gets into constant fights. His mouth is his undoing. His words endanger him. Okay? The words we speak penetrate very deeply. The repeating of negative and critical gossip also about others is not good. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of a man. Notice the innermost parts is his spirit. When someone is gossiping about you, they are infecting the inmost parts of a person, their spirit. They have spiritually impregnated them with the seeds of their gossip about you. And the more and more they gossip, they notice it says it's morsel. That's in Proverbs 18:8. Notice it says that it's a morsel. Gossip is a morsel. So there's a morsel, like something like, ooh, a morsel of meat, something you eat. The more and more they feed off of that and drink off of that gossip, because remember it says a man's mouth is as deep waters. The more they keep speaking and they just spew them seeds and they watering it and they feeding it, that gossip can be, and somebody's spirit can become a whole baby. Now they done gave birth to a whole gossip baby. And the birth that they done gave to a gossip baby is called slander. They have created fruit, okay, off of gossiping about you. And in turn, you have a wounded spirit and you're offended. See how that goes? So let's go down. Okay, another way to wound our spirit is sin. You know, some things we do to ourselves. You know what I mean? It affects our spirit. It affects our spirit. Okay? David was hurting because of his guilt and his consciousness of sin. It was talking about how he was talking in Psalms 38, verse 1 through 5. You guys go read it on your own time. Okay? It says, for your sin, this is Jeremiah 30, 12 through 14. For your sin is an incurable bruise, a terrible wound. There is no one to help you or to bind up your wound. And no medicine does any good. all your lovers have left you and don't care anything about you anymore. For I have wounded you cruelly, as though I were your enemy, mercilessly, as though I were an implacable foe. For your sins are so many and your guilt is so great. That's very strong. That was God saying that. So sometimes we do it to ourselves, right? So we don't want to always just point the fingers at other people. We want to be safe from other people. We also want to be safe from ourselves. Now, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is a breeder of wounded spirits. And I've never read this. I just said that. When people, okay, so because when you speak, right, it says that your mouth is deep waters. When you speak, when a man's mouth is deep, it goes into the innermost parts. A man's mouth is deep waters, right? When a man, you know, and a woman come together, right? And the woman receives his seed, isn't it fluid, right? And it goes in the innermost parts of us, right? So as in it's physical, so it is in the spiritual. When you speak to someone, they call it intercourse. That also means to mingle with. It's not just sexual content. You're mingling with someone that is watering and feeding you with the seeds of gossip. And the more you keep talking about that with a person, talking about the person, you guys have created a little soul tie and a little baby from that soul tie. It means it's a little slanderous little baby. And it's an ugly baby. It's not a cute little baby where it's like, oh, this is a beautiful little fruit. The fruit of gossip is always ugly. And I'm not talking about aesthetically. So if that offends you, I'm not trying to be offensive. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So what I think is ugly, you may think is beautiful and vice versa. Everybody don't think I'm cute, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about as far as the behavior of it. The offspring of gossipers is slander. It's always ugly. It's grotesque, and it's disgusting. It's okay. Intercourse, that's mingling with. We're mingling. We're networking. We're talking. Okay. Also, something that could wound your spirit is not only that, it could be ourselves. And now we're going into sexual immorality. And it says here, okay, this is a theologian that wrote this. Sexual immorality is a breeder of wounded spirits. Perhaps more people get wounded in this area of human relationships than anywhere else. Every wrong relationship can do damage to our spirit. The Bible separates sexual sins from all other sins. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. Christians are joined to the Lord as one spirit. Sexual immorality joins us in the body of the other sexual partner. It is spiritual. Sexual immorality affects every part of our being, spiritual, physical, emotional, our conscious, and our mentality. It has the power to create another human being in the image of God. Babies. Did you see that? Sex is spiritual. So when you're speaking and you're having intercourse, mingling, that's spiritual. You're creating offspring. You're creating babies, these babies. So now you see one person, they got a whole bunch of babies. Okay? Whole bunch of baby mama, baby dad. You know why? Because when they get into the spirit of gossip, they're creating offspring with this gossip, and it becomes slander. And it said they create what? A whole nother human being. They create a whole nother being that's real to them. So they don't see you no more. They see, this right here. This is what we said. Look, it ain't grown. And it's grown. It's grown now. This slander is big and grown. Okay. All right. Same thing with sex. Sex can do that too. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. Okay. All right. It says the physical act has spiritual consequences. A wounded spirit. Okay. It can also come from a satanic attack. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan loves to wound our spirit. Didn't I tell you that anybody that's trying to wound your spirit and hurt you is not sent from God? Because why would they want to do that? You know, they get along with each other because the kingdom is not divided against itself. He knows that when we carry a wounded spirit, we are no real threat to him. David is crying to God because the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten. It means bruised and wounded. My life down to the ground. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. That means laid waste. It is numb. It's shunned. It's devastated, right? This happens to all of us. So anybody walk around in toxic positivity, I don't believe people like that, okay? I'm sorry, I just don't. A wounded spirit brings down. It never lifts up. Satan loves this. He wants us down. The Good Samaritan is a good example of knowing how to lift up the wounded. He knew what to do. He knew to pour in the oil and wine. Why? He identified with the wounded man's condition. Samaritans knew what rejection was, as the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. The man was restored. So you can have a wounded spirit and you can be restored. Someone who seeks to restore a wounded person is going to lift them up. They're not going to help other people to tear you down. They're not going. That's stealing, that's killing, that's destroying. That is not from God. I don't care what anybody's saying. I stand no business when I say that. And I'm mistaken. I didn't know. No, you've been sitting around in your man. They got, you know how they said they played with your man or they effed your mind? I'm sorry, but you understand. They didn't put some seeds into your mind and they didn't bore you. They had babies together. And it's these little spiritual babies running around here, this slander, and this those born together from y'all gossiping. And don't let it where they sleep together and they gossiping. You in a whole heap of trouble. Now the satanic attack is coming. Also, having a wounded spirit can come from rejection from leaders. This is a big one. This is a big one. Everybody has experienced rejection from leaders, right? And leaders can be anybody that you kind of look up to that's showing you a way in life. It doesn't always have to be in the church setting, right? Because I know a lot of people like to make light of church hurt, and even leaders will make light of that. So I think that's very, tacky. But you know, who am I? You know, I don't say nothing. I just think to myself, like, wow, that's tacky that you're making fun of somebody saying they have church hurt. They probably don't know what verbiage to use. But that's tacky to me. But I'm not talking about just in that setting. It could be a leader if in the military, if you're a part of the military, or you know, your career, or your professor at your college, at your school, in your family. It could be leaders. It could be leaders in your family. It could be your husband or your husband that's your leader, right? So, but in this context, it's talking about as far as like church authority, right? Rejection from leaders, okay? Okay. As this paper is written in the Christian context, we'll keep it to far as church authorities, right? I gave you guys other, so you just said the same thing I said. I gave you guys other, you know, realms of authority. So you won't just, you know, it's because when you bring up rejection from leaders and stuff like this, a lot of people that are in authority in church, they get offended, right? And they'll go to, you know, so we're not, that's why I wanted to give you other examples. But according to this paper, okay, on www.gospel.org.nz, go look it up yourself. I didn't write this, a theologian did. He's talking about rejection from leaders in a church authority. But put it where it applies, okay? All right. We have such high expectations of leaders that when they fail us or especially knock us back. So sorry about that, guys. It's my pet making noise. Like as soon as I start talking, he started talking. Okay. All right. Where was we at? We have such high expectations when they overlook us. Okay. Knock us back or overlook us. It is easy for us to get discouraged and wounded. David experienced that rejection with King Saul. That's found in 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 21. Look at how long those chapters is. Chapter 18 through 20. That's more than 10 chapters that David received rejection from a leader. But also he had received rejection from his father. Right? So you could, it's possible that you could receive rejection from your biological parents and what they call, and from your spiritual parents. And the problem is a lot of people will put the blame on a David. But if you look according to the context, nobody's perfect. But in some instances, it's not the person's fault. It could be the other, you understand, the authorities. You understand what I'm saying? So I said it also happens with leaders when leaders promise certain positions to individuals and they don't deliver or they do not communicate the change of plans. Numbers get wounded when they are encouraged to go through training courses in order to be better prepared for church ministry. But in the end of the training, it doesn't happen. Broken promises lead to broken hearts and wounded spirits. Some have been wounded trying to obey the Lord in the exercising of spiritual gifts and have been rebuked or cut down publicly. Now that's worse, okay? Those woundings are hard to recover from, especially if one is sensitive and shy in the first place. Whatever the conflict or misunderstanding, don't hold a grudge against leaders. Pray for them. Give them over to God. Give the hurtful happening over to God and release it from your spirit. Get healed of any wounding of spirit and press on in Jesus' name. Now, that's beautiful. See that? So it's not saying they hurt me and I'm stuck here. You can keep giving it over to God. And if they keep doing it, you have to get away from people like that. All right, I'm going to go a little faster because I have other things to do really quick before my kids get out. So some other things. You guys can read this on your own time. So it's really good. Some other things that can wound our spirit is unforgiveness. Okay. From those who have disappointed or hurt us. We'll lock it to our spirit. Okay. So it says no matter how much someone has wounded us, we do have to come to a place of being able to release forgiveness to that person. Okay. If we don't, we'll pay a high price. Okay. All right. So it's best just like when people, you know, forgive them, as far as I say, give them over to what they for. We're not going to reconcile. No. Some things is irreconcilable, especially if it was done on purpose repeatedly. I'm not going to ever be bothered with them. I would never have to like you either. Like, I could actually be disgusted by you to a certain degree. But as far as like forgiving, you have to release that and let that go and give them over to God and know that if they were for you, they would have continued with you. Okay. Another thing that could wound our spirits is betrayal. This is indeed a very hurtful thing to work through, especially a betrayal of confidence. To be betrayed means to disclose a secret or confidence treacherously, to break a promise, or be disloyal to a person's trust, to disappoint the expectations of. Okay? So someone could have betrayed your confidence. They could have told your secrets. Right. And did it treacherously. They did it, you know, to hurt you. All right. They could have broke promises to you. And they could have been a disloyal of your trust that you had in them. OK. So it says when the children of Benjamin and Judah sought out David in the wilderness, one of the leading questions he asked them was, if you come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. David knew the power and hurt of betrayal, and he guarded against it as much as possible. And it also says Jesus warned, there would be many offended and shall betray one another. Matthew 24:10. The keeping of promises and confidences is very necessary if we do not want to be guilty of wounding our friends. That's how you could tell a friend from a foe. They have no problem just telling all your business out. And they have no problem adding something to it too, what they said earlier with the gossip. They have no problem with that at all, okay? False accusations. False accusations. From time to time, there are people who, for various reasons, have delight in making false accusations. They like to do it. Sometimes it's because of jealousy. Sometimes it's because they enjoy seeing you put down. They enjoy it. Other times, they're just ignorant and like to gossip. Many false accusations have no effect upon us. But when there comes one that was close to us, it does. It is directed at at your loved one or at your work. It can lodge in your spirit. You get wounded. This is where honesty is so important. We have to be honest with God, ourselves, and other people. If the accusation is false, keep it false. Don't give room for the enemy to take us out because we react wrongly, okay? Also, divorce, okay? Divorce is a biggie. It could wound your spirit because it's like a death. Many hurts are picked up. Attitudes are hardened. And later on, if those wounds are not dealt with, they become baggage, okay? From having a broken marriage. Relationships cut through death, okay? The loss of a loved one or a friend can be a devastating blow that can severely wound our spirit, okay? Having to act as an adult while still a child, this could wound our spirit. This is like if you had extra responsibilities placed on you, you know, you're the oldest, you mama's little man, or you mama's little princess, you can kind of help out, you know what I mean? It says a wounded spirit comes into the lives of those children who are subjected to incest, prostitution, and other abuses, emotional, physical, mental, sexual, verbal, etc. Many develop such a poor, low image of themselves that they feel the only way out is to hurt themselves or to become just like the people, okay, who have done harm to them. And it is no secret that the numbers of young people that are doing these acts are very high nowadays, okay? So this is an interesting discussion. So listen to those who have experience being the eldest or in a large family, you know, basically too much responsibility, or it can go to the point where you have been wounded, or your wounded spirit, because they have like violated you, where they don't look at you as a child, they look at you as an adult, right? Or, you know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, above my pay grade. So this is a prayer that we can pray out loud, okay? That we want God to come, and we want him, and we know that he's know our life and our circumstances, and that nothing has happened to us that is unknown to him. And we now consciously forgive all those who have spoken negatively and done hurtful things to us. And we ask that you lead them to a place where they can come to him at his altar. Okay. We also submit all of our hurts and woundings and ask for him to release our wounded spirit and that it be healed. And we speak to our spirit that it come back into divine order, that it may rise again. Okay. And that the joy and the freedom of that being made whole. Okay. Please take over our life and let us live it in abundance to glorify you every day. That is so simple and it is so beautiful. And I think that that's great. So you just want to give it over to him and allow his freedom and his joy and allow his transformative miracle working power to transform pain into wisdom. Okay. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Again, if you want to kind of go more into Proverbs 18, you can, okay, a little homework, okay, if you will. Just look up Proverbs 18, okay? If you have a crushed spirit or wounded spirit, give it over to God. We forgive those people, even those who are seeking to hurt us on purpose, and those who have betrayed our confidences and who have enjoyed doing it and laughed about it. Those leaders who have rejected us, even publicly, you know, sunning us and making a fool out of us. Things we have done to ourselves, people that we have laid down with in the bed, we have no business laying down with. We forgive ourselves, we forgive other people, and we give them, including ourselves, over to God. And we want God to come through with his word. Let us be washed with the word. Wash us with his word so that we can be clean, so that we can be cleansed. And the best thing to do is when you wounded is to rest. When the good Samaritan picked up the man that went down to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, he didn't say, "You fine. Life happens to everybody. Get on up." Some things can knock you down so bad. And because it said that he went down to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, plural. There were several people that beat and bruised and wounded and stole from him. Not just one person. And when he laid there and needed help, the people who he thought that would help him, the spiritual church people, the people that, you know, was his kinsmen, they looked at him across the street and didn't want to be bothered with him. They saw where he was at, but they didn't care. The good Samaritan came and he identified and said, "This person is wounded." He poured oil and wine into those wounds. That's to cleanse the wound and to seal the wound. And then he bound the wound. Okay, I mean, you got to cover it up. After you, it's exposed and it's cleansed, it has to be covered. That's what real love covers. Okay, so then it covers. And as he covered him, then he lifted him up. Carefully set him on his beast and took him to a place where he can rest. Someone who is truly called from God, which you can see that you wounded. They, through their prayer, through their kind words, them speaking life over you, should be able to help cleanse those wounds. Ask God and the Holy Spirit to do that. Have the living water to do that to you. They should be able to cover it and bind it up. They don't have to go around telling people, "Oh, you know, she hurt. Oh, you heard about what happened to her? She went down to Jericho and fell amongst thieves. Oh, you heard what happened? She got into sexual immorality. Oh, you heard what happened? He got a divorce." All of these things that could wound our spirit. "Oh, you heard what happened? They didn't really have no childhood. They had to do all of the, they had to be an adult. You heard what happened? They had incest. They had rape." You know what I'm saying? They had to pay bills at 15. Anything that might have happened to you that might have wounded you. A person that cares and concern will not only help to cleanse and ask God to cleanse you, they will cover those areas and they will deal with you gently because they know that you're wounded. If you know someone that has trust issues and they have been through something where they have been stolen from in many different areas from different people, you don't deal with that person harshly and say, "Get up. I don't care. I'm keeping it real with you." That's not a person that's sent from God. That's somebody sent from Satan. And they trying to wound you further. Run and call God's name. "Lord, I'm calling for your name. Let it be a strong tower." And don't say nothing. Don't argue with the people. Just call on God's name. Okay? Remember, at the beginning of this podcast, I started out by saying that we are in an epidemic of mental illness. So you can't just be talking to people like you used to back in the day, because they'll pop off and they're on edge. You understand? We want to say what? Safe. We want God to cleanse us. We want to stay safe. And we want him to heal us of any woundedness or crushed areas. You can be really strong in one area and really crushed in another area. And you can have been crushed in an area for a long time and still be grown and doing great. You can have a crushed little boy on the inside of you that might have had violation or might have got bullied, right? Might have had a teacher that talked about it. There's different things that can happen to us. So the Good Samaritan covered the wound. He lifted him up and with gentleness. He said, "With loving kindness have I drawn you." With gentleness. And then he put him to a place to rest. Okay, there's nothing wrong with resting. You don't have to respond all the time. Sometimes my response is going to be my rest. Because you saw me when I went down to Jericho and I fell amongst thieves. Some people witnessed and saw. You saw how I got beat up and got taken from. You saw me sitting there bruised and bloody and wounded and debased and demeaned and humiliated. And you walked over me and didn't want to help me. So why would I have to respond to someone that didn't want to help me when you saw me wounded? My response is my rest. So we're thankful today for all of the people that are good Samaritans. With a kind word, with a good little joke, with a pat on the back, with a hug. With a you go girl, you go boy, you could do it. God is going to help you. God is going to heal you. With a kind prayer, a one word prayer, a one sentence prayer, with a one time prayer. With people who pray for us on the daily. We're thankful for those people. We're thankful for the people that have covered our woundedness and covered our crushed areas and dealt with us gently. And then we're thankful that they give us the space to rest. The Good Samaritan was like, "Yeah, you're going to do fine. And then I believe you're going to get up." No, no, no. Just stay there. Okay? So if you have to go into a point of rest, I hope that you receive rest this weekend. I know I'm going to be resting. I'm resting. Because I've been wounded. Just like everybody else. This is Humble Dame. I hope that you guys have a good day. Let's do away with toxic positivity and lying to ourselves. If you're wounded, if you're scared, you feel unsafe, call to God. He'll be a strong tower. Ask him to wash you. We forgive those people, but we still have to deal with our woundedness. All right? All right, you guys have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful night, even whenever you listen to this. And then do something nice for yourself. Do some restful stuff. Take your nice bath, you know what I'm saying? Get your nice nap. Watch your nice movie. And let your mind listen to some beautiful nature sounds, you know? Or play with your dog, your cat, or whatever. Play with your kids, you know? And then just get you some rest. Do some journaling, some art. And then just get you some rest, okay? If you have to cry, cry. Don't feel the need to put on a facade of toxic positivity, okay? I know you got to fake it till you make it in front of people you don't know. But when you get into the confines of your private sanctuary of your home, be yourself, release, give it over to God, be cleansed, and let's get some healing. All right, this is Humble Dame. I'm going to be resting and healing. I hope that you are too. Peace.